And now, time for another edition of Uncensored with Penny Faree, brought to you proudly by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Uncensored, where the stories shaping our community are brought into sharp focus. Today, we're tackling one of the most urgent issues facing our municipality, the electricity crisis, and what it means to you, the ratepayers. I'm joined in studio by Mr. Sibusiso Jali, Executive Director of the Electrical Engineering Unit at Kwadukuza Municipality. He'll be helping us unpack the current status of electricity grid, the extent of electricity losses, and what's been done to turn the situation around. Also with us is Warwick Chapman, Chairman of the Kwadukuza Resident and Ratepayers Forum, KDRF. Warwick brings the community's perspective on accountability on public money and why you need to stay informed and involved in local decisions. Stay with us. This is a conversation that affects every household, every business, and every bill you pay. Welcome, Mr. Jali and Warwick, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And let's get right into it. KDM is currently spending more money buying electricity than selling electricity. Given the electricity revenue, which accounts for more than 50% of KDM's revenue, why is this happening? So we're going to go with you, Mr. Jali.
Okay, greetings to all the listeners. There are different issues around why we're having a lot of energy losses.
Yeah.
So currently we buy electricity from Eskom. Per annum, it's about 1.2 billion per annum. And then there are losses which are sitting around 26%. There are different causes of these energy losses, of which some of them are related to illegal connections. Some of them are related to administrative issues, like when it comes to billing.
Yeah.
Maybe you find that there is a customer who's on a wrong tariff. Because currently we've got a lot of, I would say it's like BNBs, like in the townships, those ones on the tariff of residential, of which it shouldn't. So that's one of also contributing to the losses.
Yeah.
Illegal connections, there's a lot of informal settlement where there's no electricity, and then there are all these illegal connections coming from there. Also, those ones, they contribute to energy losses. Because a person who's illegally connected, he will put on his electricity 24 hours. So it doesn't care whether to switch it on or off. So
it's
quite a number of issues around energy losses.
Yeah, the energy losses for this financial year are amounting to more than 400 million rand. That equates to over 41 million rand a month on electricity losses. And now, given that this is the major revenue for the municipality, if we run out of money, it will basically be the fault of the electricity department because of the critical issues, financial issues we are facing at the moment with our deficit budget. At the Mbiza, at the recent Mbiza, you actually put a plan together when you were asked by DOCRA, what critical plan is currently in place that's urgent to address these losses and curb the 400 million? Because we've seen the numbers and we've seen the graphs. If this is allowed to continue, the municipality by the end of the year is going to be facing bankruptcy. And that's that is in black and white. So can you just give us a little bit of a breakdown on what the plan is, point by point, in order to curb these electricity losses, and how imminent is it to be put into place?
Okay, the main program that we are embarking on this financial year is mainly on resellers. We've got about 139 resellers, like the malls, the BNB. So we've got a program to review their electricity supply agreements. So first, before going to electricity supply agreements, first is to ensure that in the field, the metering installations, they are correct. So we've got teams that are going to the field and then check that all the meters are working fine, and then also that they are set correctly. Because sometimes you can have a meter that's working, but you find that in terms of the charge, it's not charging the correct amount. Maybe there's a bypass of one line, because there's three lines that goes onto a meter. If one is bypassed, it means that you are charging 66% of energy that's supposed to be built. So it's one of the big programs. We had a SECO grant of about 9 million. So where there, we for resellers, we checked installation, and then we put all those resellers on automatic meter read. Because also we have got a problem when it comes to meter reading, you find that there are a lot of estimates. So to curb that issue around estimates, then we need to put all those meters, we call them MD meters, maximum demand meters, on automatic meter read. So currently the program is in progress. We have put 300 out of 495. MD meter, yeah, customers on AMR. And also there's education in terms of awareness. So there's education that also I'm embarking on. When it comes to education, is not only the resellers, also the community. So in terms of energy losses, there's animation that we are currently developing. We are going to put them on different platforms. Our website, and also on the platforms like WhatsApp and also on Facebook, just to educate around the energy losses. What is the, if somebody is doing illegal connections, what is the impact to that individual himself? Because if there's illegal connections, there's money that's supposed to be rerouted to infrastructure development, but that money now is used to pay for his electricity.
Yeah.
So there's a big loss there.
You know, you're looking at the township losses, you know, where people connect an illegal connection onto a pole, and then, you know, that supplies electricity. But when I spoke to Warwick about it, because KDRF have been quite a vocal about some of the programs, the Vitella program, you know, from 2022, and the management, that was the consulting engineers who prepared this. And I know you put it out, KDRF put this as a question at the Mbiza, and they said it wasn't actually addressed. We were looking at bulk, illegal bulk companies that are actually getting into the grid. You know, they'll pay an engineer. I mean, I don't want to focus on the townships and the illegal connections from the marginal, you know, the informal settlements. We're looking at rather the commercial people that are actually draining the grid. So you're getting a big business, who will pay someone to put them onto the grid and bypass the metering, and then obviously be draining the electricity. Can you come through on this, Warwick? Can you just explain a little bit on why this is not being picked
up?
Yeah.
So, Penny, to be clear, it's DOCRA that's been driving the 16 strategic points from the Vutela report.
Okay.
And that was the very important question that they tabled during the IDP session that wasn't answered, is what's the progress on those 16 strategies? Now, NERSA sets a target of 6 to 12% losses for every municipality in the country to try and achieve. Back in 2013-2014, KDM was sitting at around about 15% losses. So we were already in excess of the target band of 6 to 12%. During that time, 2013 through to about 2019, Kwadukuza was still making money out of electricity. So in 2013, the electricity department made 128 million rand profit selling electricity. So the revenue might have been a billion, but the profit was 128. And that is a huge direct contribution to the budget of the municipality and cash flow. By 2018, that was 178 million rand. So by 2018, that had increased with the electricity price up to 180 odd million. But during that time, the losses had started to climb. So by 2018, the losses were at 18%, okay, up from 15 in 2013. Then over the years that followed, 2019, 2020, 21, 22, 23, the losses climbed to 21%, 23%, 25%, and then up to 26% last year. And during that precipitous climb in losses, the revenues of the municipality dropped very steeply. Down to this last financial year ending 2024, when the municipality made a loss selling electricity, meaning that they paid more for bulk electricity than they collected by selling electricity. Yeah.
Was this a big contribution to the deficit budget that was passed in the beginning of the year of the 270 million?
If you look at the rate of escalation of the electricity price, yeah, it's been really massive over the past few years. In 2019, it was a 15% increase. In 2021, it was an 18% increase. In the last financial year, it was an 18.5% increase. So remember, the good thing about those electricity increases for KDM is it means that electricity costs more, they can collect more, and therefore their markup is actually bigger. But unfortunately, KDM hasn't been able to benefit from that scenario because despite the electricity price increasing, KDM is still paying more money for the electricity that it buys than it is collecting for the electricity that it sells. And so what we see over this period between 2018-19 financial year and now, where our ability to generate a profit from the sale of electricity has literally been decimated in KZN, is, I'm sorry, Mr. Jolly, this is not the result of a few illegal connections in townships. There's too much electricity being lost here for that to be the reason. It has to be corruption. It has to be meter tampering by large power users who are having their ratios changed or something like that in some kind of corrupt agreement with officials from the municipality in order to pay less for the bulk electricity that they are using. The biggest power users in this municipality, the bulk power users, apparently use about 65% of all power. And there are thousands and thousands of legally connected households that are paying for their power. And the energy utilization by illegally connected residential or shack dwelling households cannot explain the precipitous drop in the collection of electricity. And even if it could explain it, how was it allowed to go unattended to for 5 consecutive years, taking this municipality to the brink of bankruptcy?
And you know what they always say, that when you go into debt, it happens very slowly and then it happens fast. And I think this is where we are at the moment. Mr. Jolly, can you answer that question? How was this not picked up and why wasn't a task team? Because this is like the buzzword of local government, task teams. We hear about task teams happening all the time, but the end results never get us anywhere. So I know you have said that there's a task team now in place to tackle this, and there's an educational program which I feel is very long term. What is right now being done right this minute to stop us from going into a free fall by October, where the municipality will not have enough money to pay salaries, contractors, and keep this region running?
Okay, one of the contributing factors is that when it comes to losses, first we have to check Eskom in terms of increase from Eskom, what percentage Eskom is given by NERSA for their increase, yeah, and then check from municipalities what percentage is given to municipalities for an increase.
This so is the pricing, the increased price each. Okay.
Correct. That's correct. Yeah. That's the one that is used for calculations, because yes, if you calculate the loss, it's what you buy from Eskom and what you sell from NERSA. Yeah. So there's a tariff that determines what you buy from Eskom. Then on an annual basis, there's an increase. And then if you check the trend for past 5 years from Eskom side, the percentage increase from Eskom has been more than the percentage increase that NERSA is giving to municipalities. Like there was 1 year where Eskom was giving 18% increase for their tariff, and then municipalities were giving 12%. So yeah, there's that 6%.
So that
6%, it contributes, and it has got a big impact. Because okay, that's the one that impacts on the financial
but
side.
But now, financially, are you saying, okay, Eskom's tariff is X amount pegged, and NERSA gives a municipality X amount, but it's also up to the municipality to adjust their tariffs. Surely that would be adjusted according to how much you're actually buying and how much you're selling, because I'm a layman with figures, but if I'm buying more and selling less, then already I'm red flagging it. How would that not be picked up? And your budget steering committee, your finance steering committee would have said, listen, we are buying X amount of electricity from Eskom. This is how much it's costing us. This is we have to resell it. Let's adjust our figures.
Unfortunately, that is That's regulated by NERSA. So you can put, like, for example, if ESCOM has been given 18% increase, and then we as a municipality, we also request that 18%.
Yeah.
And then there must be supporting documents that why do you also need 18%, like cost of supply studies, all those ones. So you can put 18%, but the final that's going to be given by NERSA is going to be they give all municipalities like 12%. So you don't have much say on that one because it's mainly regulated by NERSA.
Okay, that is sad. What about the rest? What about the illegal connections that Warwick mentioned, that the bulk illegal connections that are crippling the municipality? Because it keeps saying illegal connections and everyone's like thinking about the informal settlements, but we are not looking at a possible network, a corrupt network underlying this problem right now, where they're actually benefiting from these losses. Is this not a possibility, rather than looking at the rates that you're saying from Eskom?
Can I just add to that, Penny, sorry, before Mr. Jolly responds to that? The consulting engineers who prepared the report as part of the Vutela program in 2022, Zotari, they prioritized 16 different strategies for sorting out electricity losses. And they prioritized them on the basis of the impact, whether or not there were quick wins, whether or not there was funding available, and whether or not the municipality had technical capacity. And the only one of the 16 items that was highlighted as a high impact priority was large power user customer audits and consumption verification. It was considered to be a quick win. It was not budgeted for, so the municipality would have need to find money for this after this report in 2022, and it would need to be outsourced according to this report. So I'm really interested in whether or not this particular strategic priority has been actioned.
Okay, on that one has been actioned. In terms of those strategies, they are technical strategies, and then they are financial strategies. So first, you have to embark on a technical one, because the technical one, it affects the financial one. So the ones on the large power users is the current one that we are currently doing. Is the one that I've just explained that it required a lot of funding. So we did get a funding of 9 million. There where we are mainly concentrating on those large power users, which we call them, they've got meters which are NMD meters. So it's 493 of those ones. So those ones first is to visit installations. That one has been done. And then after visiting them is to put all those meters on automatic meter read.
Yeah.
Currently 300 has been done. It's on the system. And then also there's a system, it's a PNP SCADA that we're using. For all that, we use communication, which is like the cellular network. So there are SIM cards on the modems. For each reading, then it goes to a central system, which is PNP SCADA. So that one is work in progress. Currently 300, it's on that system. So there's just few that needs to be put on the system. Mainly the challenge sometimes is the communication. When it comes to cellular network, you find that there are areas where Vodacom or MTN, in terms of communication, is not fine. Yeah. So we use dual modems. We put either an MTN or Vodacom SIM card for communication there. So that one is work in progress. Then once that one has been done...
Can I ask you a question? Sorry to interrupt. And for the benefit of the listeners, when Mr. Jolly mentions MD, he means maximum demand. So customers who are charged based on their maximum demand or who have a fee as part of their tariff structure for maximum demand. And AMD is making reference to automatic automatic meter reading. So that someone doesn't have to go around and actually read those. So what we're hearing is that the priority is these clients with maximum demand charges, that a contractor was appointed, that meters which support automatic meter reading have been installed, and that they are reading those meter readings back to a SCADA system. Is that the same SCADA system that the municipality is installing for the management of infrastructure? Or is it a different one?
No, it's a different one. The ones that municipality has got is for monitoring of the network. This one is it's for metering, the billing.
Okay.
Yeah, the billing.
Can I just bring in, you know, at the meeting, some serious concerns were voiced from metering experts that deserve your response. And I'm putting it to you again because it's a serious issue that demands just some clarity. Now, according to electricity expert, this is the second time that approximately 200 electricity meters have been replaced, yet little has changed in terms of accuracy or efficiency. The initial replacements were reportedly done without fully complying with the NRS code of practice, which has led to wasted expenditure and unreliable readings. Now, this member of the public, who is also in the industry, he says, instead of fixing the faults, those same meters were removed and scrapped and replaced again without resolving the underlying problems. Now, we're told that the tariffs have not been based on accurate consumption of data, and with Eskom changing the timing blocks of peak standard and off-peak periods, there's concern that KDM's mythology is not aligned, and you may be costing the, this may be costing the municipality and the consumers financially. And the frustrations from independent experts trying to say that KDM won't approve alternative meter brands and claim their suppliers are out of stock. So now, when this has happened, the municipality continues to replace meter boxes via contractors, only to reinstall the same faulty meters. Why is this happening? This was a question that was put at the meeting last week, and there wasn't proper clarification given on that.
In terms of empty meters, we have never put old meters there. All of them are new. The critical infrastructure that is put there inside the boxes is mainly the modems, the ones for communication, which has not been there. There's been a meter. Meters has been there. But you find that now, in terms of communication now, there has been no more modems. So it's the modems that were put. And then those modems need to be functional. So when you put a modem, it must also, with Vodacom or MTN communication system, it must be aligned. So if you find that maybe there was a modem before, but when now you put either a MTN SIM card or a Vodacom SIM card, if one of them is not working, so it won't help at a long run. So hence, the modems that you are putting, just ensure that the in terms of communication, it's working fine with the cellular
network.
So it's
not the meters that are the problem.
But you know, if out of 400 large power users, there are a couple of them with signal problems, that's not why we're in the situation we're in. And if there's a differential in the tariff between what Eskom charges us and what we're allowed to charge customers, that doesn't explain the sheer scale of energy losses. The bottom line is our target for energy losses in this municipality is 6 to 12%. And we're now, as at 2023-2024, just shy of 26%. So we can understand that there are reasons related to the tariff differential, which affects potentially profit, but it doesn't explain why there is more than one quarter of the electricity that we buy from Eskom that we are losing, that we are not generating revenue on. And it's an emergency situation that is dragging this municipality to the point of bankruptcy, and I don't see the sense of urgency to resolve it. What about the other 15 priorities on that list? And do we have any sense that the situation is turning around?
You know, I also sorry, Mr. Jolly, that's for you. Yeah.
Yes. In terms of other priorities is that they require funding. So based on the funding that we get, then we embark on them. There's been a progress on quite a number of those ones. But the main limitation is from the funding. And also, if I can go back in terms of the process, mainly going back to these large power users, the empty meters, the process is that first you fix the technical site, and then you ensure that communication is going fine. Then you take the readings onto an MMR system. Then you, after that one, you monitor the consumption. Then For example, you find us on some of the solution, you find that there have been problem with the fuses, because for measuring for voltage, there's three fuses. If one of the fuses is blown, you find that the consumer is charged only 66%. So sure. There's a portion that's not charged. So all those all that has been corrected. When it has been corrected, then we monitor for 6 months to about 1 year. And then to check if that installation, it doesn't qualify for back billing, then based on the monitoring, then we initiate the back billing. So that one is the back billing. It's a function of finance, where now they check for the past 3 years going backward if there's no back billing that needs to be affected.
So yeah. If we have a look at this high priority item of large power users, and you say that that a contractor was appointed to perform this audit and consumption verification, and that the meters have been installed and they're automatically read, what was the outcome of that exercise? Did you find problems? Did you find underbilling? Is there a sense that we're now going to collect another 50 million rand a year? What is the progress?
Yeah, in terms of the progress, because some of these meters has been changed, there's more than 1 year that has already passed. So there have been back billing that has been affected.
And do we have a sense of how much that's going to turn the situation around?
Yes, correct. Because there is amount from finance, there's collection that has been done through back billing. So that one is an income. And also the process is continuing, because out of all these meters, we are monitoring them from the period of about 6 months to about 1 year, and then to check if there's no back billing that needs to be affected.
You know, with the bulk consumers, I know this was also raised at the meeting. He says the bulk consumers are reportedly being billed based on flawed retrospective estimates. This is what someone put at the meeting. He says, even though the original fault was due to poor installation and mismanagement by the municipality. So he said, can you explain why the bulk electricity meters that were installed in 21 and 22 were removed? And also, why did it take until 2023 for your four managers to inspect the bulk consumer sites, especially considering these sites only appeared on the SCADA system last year? And given that bulk consumers account for over 65% of the overall electricity consumption based, is this not a serious mismanagement or an oversight on your part? Yeah. I know this is technical, I actually want to move away from the technicality. Okay. So, just so you know, for the listeners to understand what this actually means. Jolly, can you just dumb it down for us?
Okay, maybe if you can get the list of those meter that they say they were installed around 2021.
Yeah.
And then, because now if you get that is where they are located, then we can do the investigation and then or come up with an answer of why they were replaced. Because there are different reasons if the meter has been was installed in 2021 and then it's being replaced in 2023 or 2024.
And just based on the current budget, it was concerning to learn that the three national and provincial grants, which totaled 4.6 million, aimed specifically at mitigating energy losses and stabilizing the grid. Those were either unallocated or withdrawn, or about to be withdrawn this financial year. And they include the Vutela grant, the Energy Efficiency and Demand Side Management grant, and the Integrated National Electrification Plan grant. So how is it possible for these funds to go unutilized, especially when the community is facing such ongoing challenges with the grid?
Currently, when it comes to grants, for energy efficiency grant, we don't have any grant on that one. This financial year and also last financial year.
Okay, that says that 4.3 million has 4.6 million specifically from the national and provincial treasury are either going to be specifically given back or not allocated.
Or maybe it's for another business you need. Because for under electrically, the grant that we've got is one for electrification, of which for service connections, we have done them 100%. So it's only the substation that's working in progress. So that one in total, it was a grant of about 18 million. So already we have spent more than 60% on that one.
Okay, with this, the two major projects that are supposed to fix the Belito, the southern grid, the Dukuza substation and the SCADA system, you said at the meeting that more delays are expected with the Dukuza substation. And there's already been 3 years of delays. We are 3 years behind this project. And you said that now currently It was supposed to be completed by 2025, and it's been pushed back now to 2026, possibly end of 2026. And this was the hope that everyone's been relying on, that this is going to fix our grid, is going to bring some stability to our failing grid. What is the delay? What is actually behind all these delays?
Okay, the project we do in conjunction with Eskom. So there's a part for Eskom, and then also there's a part of municipality. For Eskom, the main problem now is on the incoming lines. Those lines that come from Avon picking plant. It's on the other side of Sugar Scroll. Those lines, they need to be refurbished. So there were lines that were broken in 2021. There was a storm on the east of 2021. Those lines has till today they have not been repaired.
That's so more than 3 years ago. They haven't fixed the lines.
Yes, Eskom, they did appoint a service provider. So currently the work is in progress, and then they've done the inspections on the whole line, and then they find that there's 20 structures that needs to be repaired.
So 20 lines that have
20 pylons.
It's pylons, yeah, okay, the structures. Yes,
okay,
correct.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And yeah, carry on.
So those ones now, since they need to replace all those ones, they can't energize the lines without those ones being a replaced. Mm. So that's the one now that's pushing the program further towards the end of 2026.
And now, why is this taken? This was 3 years in the making. Why have they just picked up this now that these power lines need to be replaced? Surely they would have picked it up when they were doing a remit of the entire project. And this is the timelines, and this is how we are going to be putting it through. I mean, they said the construction was going to be finished by March. Then it was April, now end of the year, now following year. And then you also said that the second transformer, which was going to be you're waiting delivery on, the company. And our transformer, is that 80 megawatts? Is that the MVA? It's a big transformer, hey?
Yeah, in terms of the size, it's 8 MVA.
So that's about a 20, 30 million rand transformer. Size of it.
No, it costs those transformers. They cost about just between 10 million to about 15
okay.
million.
And you said
the transformer plus installation works.
Yeah, and then the company that this transformer was brought from, you said that it's currently under business rescue.
Yes, that business rescue it was due to was a storm in Pretoria. So then there were damages inside the effect. So it was the main cause of that one.
And then the second project, the SCADA system, which has been implemented to remotely monitor and control the electrical services, there's also been delays in that. Is that because of budgetary constraints, skill transfer capacity? What are the delays behind that? Because that's also been an ongoing project, a big part of our the functioning of our electricity grid.
In terms of SCADA, we do it in phases. So it's still gonna, that project is still going to go on for next 4 to about 5 years. So we first started with 14 substations. Yeah. All those substations in terms of SCADA, SCADA is fine there. And then for this financial year, we were just beefing up the communication system because we're relying on the cellular network. So we've put the radio now. So in terms of the radio network, the contractor is working on that one. By June, that work is going to be finished. First phase is 14 substation. Then there's extra 33 substation that we need to do. So hence, in terms of that project is still going to be continuous. But for it to be continuous, then we keep on applying for more funding.
Yeah,
so there's more funding required. So what we have done out of 33 substation, that's now phase two. We got funding just to do main critical switching substation. We mainly checked it at the load, like there's the one by the Seward, which supplies the hospital, and also at Stenga, the Stenga hospital, the switch room that supplies that hospital. We just put a SCADA so that if there's any load shedding, in terms of criticality of the hospital, is not affected by load shedding.
Okay, and there's a lot of technicality in that. I just want to bring it down just to the basics. The community is so concerned. You know, we've heard the Benini line. You said there was water. Someone at the meeting said there was water running through it, and you said that line has been installed 15 years prior. And what was concerning was, why wasn't there a second line installed? Surely you've got a backup. But that's besides the point. We've heard, you know, we've heard from the Chamber of Commerce. DOCRA has gone to the top channels. They've engaged NERSA. We're looking at audits. There's so many people looking at this. There's so many organizations, individuals, you know, collective groups looking at this. And yet, you know, the figures just continue to grow. Is there any assurance? Because when we walk out of these meetings, and a lot of the comment was that it was well attended, and MBSA was well attended, but they felt that it was just a tick in the box. There was no concrete assurance that this is going to be fixed. This is a problem which is not going to be flatlining this region in the next couple of months. Are you confident in this task team and the scale that has been put together in terms of, you know, the skill set and the expertise? Are you confident that this is finally going to set us on a path where we're not bleeding so much money?
Yes, there are mainly two problems on the network. Is the Mbonini cable, and also plus the cables that go to Sheffield where it crosses the Umhlali River. The Mbonini cable, one drum has been laid. So contractor is working there. So they've just gone across the road and then tie up onto the other side. So that work is going to be finished. Now it's going to be May.
So when that cable goes down, is this what is impacting the grid?
Yeah, the Mbonini cable, it supplies the Mbonini substation. And also it supplies the Shagas Rock substation. So it supplies the whole of the areas on the eastern side of P445.
Okay. So yes. Now with the delay in the Dukuza substation, we have seen all these developments going down. We've had a massive influx of growth in our region. And we have attributed this growth of the capacity has been a problem. It's not enough to pick up with the growth. And we've seen the north side, this massive park coming up, which has pulled electricity off the grid. Obviously, I don't know if it was from the southern network or the northern network. There wasn't clarity on that. But now, without this big project coming online anytime soon, what is going to happen? How are you going to find the extra capacity other than fixing the failing infrastructure that should have been done, you know, 5-10 years ago?
On the Mbonini side, there by the north side, yeah. they are busy putting the third transformer.
Which will give them extra capacity.
Okay. Yes, correct. So that one is work in progress, and also fixing of the cable, because one of the problems is to fix that cable. If that cable is still there, the problems could.
That's the 15-year-old cable you said that was installed 15 years ago. Yes. Why didn't they put another one in? And, you know, 15 years ago, why didn't they have a backup? Surely, you know, if it's such a main cable, this is just me thinking, as a layman, you'd think that these experts, these electrical experts, would use their expertise to say, you know what, there's one major cable, it's 15 years old, it is one of the major cables supplying our region, let's put a backup, let's fix it and put a second backup. So when the first one fails, we can transfer to the second one. Is that not common sense, possibly?
Yeah, it's a common sense. But yeah. Now in terms of where this power comes from, it comes from power Shagas Cross substation. It's an overhead line. So to get another second line, you need to have servitude. That process, it takes a long time. Okay. Just to get servitude, because now you have to run that cable from Shagas Cross, passing Shagas Cross up until Umhlali and all the way to the side. So you need a servitude.
Warwick,
for running that one.
Sorry, Jolly. Just for you, you know, more and more people coming online because they've lost confidence on the grid and they don't believe that it's something that can be fixed, and going onto solar. Do you think this is also a possible, taking money, draining it from the cash cow and putting it on, you know, individuals? You know, we heard the sentiment at the meeting. We said, sure. Enough is enough, you know.
I think people installing alternative energy sources will definitely reduce sales on the network. But there is growth elsewhere in KDM as well. So we have seen the amount of electricity purchased by KDM increasing every single year. So the demand for electricity is still increasing. And that's the important thing. The more stable and reliable the network is, the lower the incentive for people to install alternative energy sources. And so if there was a 17th strategy to add to that list, It would be making the grid supply as reliable and dependable and stable as possible, so that someone who's considering going solar no longer gets irritated enough to pull the trigger. Now, on the power issues that we experienced over the holiday season, I think it's now probably the third year in a row that during that time of the year we have this almost never-ending series of power outages, which this year felt like it lasted about 6 weeks. And it's extremely difficult for the electricity department, because the longer the outage is, the more demand there is when they switch back on again, and then they get all these secondary faults, smaller substations tripping and whatever. And it massively affects tourism in this municipality. And there are people who were so inconvenienced this last December that they will rather go to the Western Cape next summer than come here to KDM. So, economic development is being impacted by the failures of the electricity department. So, that cable in Imbonini, that's waterlogged. That's not the first time the municipalities had to repair it this December. It's not the first time that they found out that it was in a poor condition and waterlogged. I believe that the urgency, the sense of urgency that should have existed to get that cable replaced much sooner in its life, just didn't exist. We heard about the issue with the cable that spans the Umhlali River. Why did it take so many years of faults and problems with that before there was sufficient urgency to get that issue attended to? So, I commend Mr. Jolly for coming and talking to us today. As we said at the public meeting, there has been radio silence from the municipality since November last year. We've had very big difficulty as DOCRA, as the KDRF, as other civic organizations getting the municipality to engage. So the fact that Mr. Jolly is here today and letting us put the tough questions to him is commendable, and I ask him to please make sure that that continues, because we want to know what the progress is. We want to know how this turnaround strategy is proceeding. We want, as people responsible for economic development in this municipality, to have a sense of confidence that we can go through the 2025-26 holiday season without an uninterrupted series of power failures.
Yeah, and there you have it. Mr. Jolly, can we put you on the hot spot and say you can come back and give us an update on your plan on curbing these losses and how it's going? Will you be joining us again?
Okay, that soon. One is fine. And, okay. And also, we did task him, the one that's with the business chamber.
Yes.
We are going to have a meeting in May.
Okay, and then possibly give us an update on what has transpired. Right. There you have it, everyone. It's a very important conversation, and it's not going to stop here. Tune in to Uncensored, and we bring you more news.
You've been listening to Uncensored with Penny Faree, brought to you proudly by IPSS Electronic Security.